Hello and welcome back to the Nerd Podcast, that's never-ending retro dialogue. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Doug.
And today we are doing our month in review for February 2023. I can't believe it's over already.
It is shortest month and it still went pretty fast.
Yeah, shortest month of the year.
Yeah.
Even when it's a leap year, but it's not a leap year.
Not a leap year.
So we have a skip year maybe. Let's skip this year.
Why not?
So we have a special guest with us.
We sure do. Yes. You
know him better than I do.
You know what? It's someone that I've known for, all their life.
Wow.
Which I can't say that about a lot of people.
Well, basically two people.
my son Wyatt, the youngest of the two Derringer children. Will be joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. Thank you for joining. So yeah. Anyone who doesn't know what we do in our end of the month reviews, we just kind of talk about all the nerdy stuff we got into for the month because our podcasts that we post on the regular, those are usually recorded well in advance. The stuff you're listening to in this month, we recorded probably, 4 months ago?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
So we decided in the year of 2023, we would do a month in review so that we can kind of tackle current things that are happening. January, we talked about the Dungeons & Dragons stuff, which got solved immediately after our podcast.
It's funny how that works.
So I think Hasbro was listening.
Oh, Hasbro definitely has your house wired.
Yeah. Well, they know that the lifeline of all nerddom runs through this house. So
we move the needle.
That's right. We sure do. But yeah, so one of the things that I had wanted to do before this month was over was watch the new Ant-Man movie.
Yeah.
And it has not happened yet.
Same.
However, Wyatt has watched it, which is why he is going to guest on there. Okay. So why don't you tell us about the movie? Without spoilers.
Yes.
It's only been out for,
A week or two.
Yeah. So by the time this airs, it'll be out for 3 weeks, but still. Yeah. So try to spoiler-free.
I honestly very much enjoyed the movie. I don't think it's the best MCU movie that's been released, but it's still very fun. It's just a good movie to just chill, relax. It has very good building up for the future of the MCU.
How was Kang as a villain?
Amazing. Amazing.
So I see a lot of people saying that this movie set him up to be an even better villain than what Thanos was. Would you agree with that assessment?
I think it's a very good start to be better than Thanos. I think introduction was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
His Jonathan Majors' performance was amazing.
Which is to be expected from him. Yeah.
He's kind of one of those guys that's all over the place now.
He has hit a stride.
Yeah.
He is all over. So I did not enjoy the second Ant-Man as much as the first one. I liked it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I just felt like it didn't. I don't know. Maybe I had too high of expectations. Where does that rank as far as the other two Ant-Man movies go?
I think Quantumania is about on same par as the first Ant-Man, maybe a bit higher.
Oh, okay. Nice.
I think the thing with Ant-Man 2 was it didn't have a villain that I really cared about that much.
Mm-hmm.
With the first one, at least Yellowjacket was, an established... I don't want to be, a gatekeeper or anything, but he was an established identity. I had no idea who Ghost was.
Yeah.
So, I was kind of whatever. But I love Ant-Man, so...
Yeah. I think the second Ant-Man movie, more than anything, was... It was that bridge movie to get them to add to the story, right? Yeah. So, which obviously sounds like this one is, too, but in a more meaningful way.
I am always surprised, and I think we might have talked about this on, I don't know if we talked about it on air, but how Ant-Man just finds himself in the middle of these really important things. I would not have expected the next phase of the MCU to start with Ant-Man,
Right.
Something, because I love Ant-Man, but I don't expect him to be I'm introducing a major villain,
Well, and so that's what a lot of articles and people that I've watched do videos have talked about. Everything that this Ant-Man movie was it's a Fantastic Four movie. It should be, you know, because Kang was first introduced in Fantastic Four comics. The idea of the quantum realm or the microverse, if you will, is a Fantastic Four idea. So it's interesting that they're still using Ant-Man as the propellant, if you will, because they have the ability to do Fantastic Four now.
Right.
And obviously they teased it with the Multiverse of Madness. Yeah, it makes you wonder why they decided to. I'm sure a lot of it's contractual, right? Yeah. You know, Paul Rudd has to make so many movies as Ant-Man and blah, 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 blah. And you already have that storyline there.
Yeah.
But, so effects good?
Yeah, visually the movie's amazing.
Yeah.
And watching it, I watched it in 3D and it was crazy.
So where would you put it as far as the overall MCU? Where does it... Is it like middle of the road as far as overall movie? Or because of what it's introducing, does it get a kind of a bump so that's it's upper tier? Or
I would say it's still like middle of the road, but because it's set to propel the rest of the next few years of MCU films, it's... yeah, I think... It's definitely higher rating than just because of that. But better I would say it's still middle of the road.
Better than Love and Thunder?
Yes.
I still haven't brought myself to watch that because everybody... I mean, I think you were the one who said you couldn't finish it, right?
Yes. Oh. Sharon has tried watching it 5 times. Has not been able to get through it. I stopped after the 3rd time. And I can't get to where everyone says the good stuff is. Like I can't get to the gore, the God Butcher stuff. I can't. It is just so utterly ridiculous. I was able to finish The Dark World, and I don't like that movie.
Right.
But at least I was able to finish it. This is just it's. I know a lot of people. I've heard a lot of people say it was fine. You went and saw it in the theater, right, Wyatt?
Yeah, I thought it was all right. I still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I think, obviously, like, there was a bit too much comedy in weird places, and I think there was a misusing of gore.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's supposed to be the God Butcher.
You yeah.
should see him kill a bunch of gods. You see him, like, kill one or two, maybe.
And it's most of it's an exposition, right?
Yeah.
You know that he's done this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... I don't know.
And they create a whole world full of gods or whatever, and they don't even have him come in and...
Butcher them?
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah. Beats... I don't know. I couldn't tell you much about it because literally each time I think I got... I think the furthest I was able to get in was like 35 minutes. That's 40 bad. Minutes. Something like that. I just... Nope. I'm not even sure if I got to the Russell Crowe parts. I've seen the clips on like YouTube and whatnot, but I don't think I got to it in the movie.
Yeah.
And I have not watched Wakanda Forever yet.
Yeah, I still haven't seen that.
It is.
I still need to watch it.
Sharon and I were going to the other night.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, this is perfect. We could talk about it on the podcast. And then we went to it, and it's 2 hours and 43 minutes long.
No. Yeah. What?
That's what it said.
Wow.
It's so... It was like 9 o'clock when we were thinking about watching. I'm like, nope. So yeah, we did not. We started watching Andor instead, which
I've not started.
And no. So
I've heard really good things though.
So Andor, I'll go ahead. What a perfect segue. It's almost like we're professionals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very slow starting. The first episode is almost all setting the pieces in place, right? And very slow paced. Second episode, pretty much the same. They just build more. And we started the 3rd one. Your mom wanted to go ahead and start the 3rd one. She fell asleep. 3rd one, it takes off. Everything they had been building up to, it finally starts to happen. And you get the payoff. Yeah, so very, very much looking forward to. I did not realize it was as many episodes as it was. I thought it was like 6 or 7 episodes. It's like 10 or 11, I think. So looking forward to finishing it. I won't give any spoilers, although it's been out for quite a while. So we're at the episode where him and what is his name? He's the doctor from Thor. He's a Skarsgård.
Oh, yeah, Skarsgård. One of the Skarsgård.
One of the Skarsgård.
I can't keep him
The
straight.
Father of the Skarsgårds. they are escaping the Empire. So yeah, it took off, and it took off like a rocket. So it definitely had a good payoff. So we enjoyed that. Have you been watching The Last of Us?
So I actually have been. I've started late, so I'm only on episode 4.
Okay.
But I've watched the first 3 episodes. Now, I never played the game, though.
Mm-hmm. So I have played sparingly.
Yeah.
I would say, is that fair to say for you too, Wyatt, just sparingly?
I haven't played it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought we played it together. No, was that just me?
I think it was just you, yeah.
Oh, well, son of a gun, look at me. How about that? That's very rare.
Yeah.
So we are caught up. We finished episode 6 last night. So, again, I don't know a ton about the game. I do know there are certain scenes that they did really well as far as lining up with the video game. Absolutely loved episode 3.
Yeah, that was a really good one. Not out of left field in a bad way, but just sort of like the way they told the story over the 20-year span.
Yes.
I was like, wow, I wasn't expecting that.
Correct.
Because I knew Nick Offerman was in it, and I knew he was kind of a survivalist,
mm-hmm.
but that's about all I knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I watched it, and I was like, wow, this is...
Ooh. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved that episode. Now, they did do... That's one of the things they changed.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
The characters were still partners,
mm-hmm.
but in the game, Frank ended up hanging himself and left a very not great note to Bill. And so Bill was more of a cautionary tale for Joel's character, whereas they flipped it and made him an inspirational story. So it all ends up having the same effect, but it just in a different way.
Yeah.
And I think it was a much better, it was a nice bright spot and a nice kind of uplifting, whereas things were obviously episode 4 and then 5. We won't go into there.
I will say I'm impressed because as far as video game adaptations go, there seems to be an unwritten rule that they can't be done well.
Yes.
So many video game adaptations are just not that good.
We were just talking about that.
Are there any other examples that you can think of that are any good? Or
I came up with Sonic.
I haven't seen Sonic.
They actually created some of the better game adaptations.
Yeah, we went through a litany of. So you had Street Fighter from the 90s, right?
Oh gosh,
absolutely
forgot about that
trash.
Blocked that one.
You have the Resident Evil movies. I think the first one maybe is okay, but it's still not the game.
Right.
It's not at all. It doesn't have the feel. You've got, The Prince of Persia, which was gross. They did an Assassin's Creed movie with Fassbender, which, I don't know, I didn't even watch. No. It just didn't look like it was interesting. You had the Silent Hill movies, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
And I haven't, nothing about those were appealing to me.
It's almost like they think they have to change the... Could you talk about, there was one that you just listed that like Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Just like completely changes.
Yes.
I'm like, you have so many years of material there. All you have to do is adapt the first one and get it going. It writes itself. Literally, it's already written. And then they did the Netflix series, which I didn't watch because I heard it was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Netflix... And then there was another one called Welcome to Raccoon City or something, which was a mixture of 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what is wrong with you people? Resident Evil is so good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is the zombie game.
Yeah. Wyatt brought up an excellent point when we were talking. If you want to expound on why The Last of Us is so good and why it's bucking the trend. Do you remember your point?
No, I don't.
Oh,
it was 15 minutes ago. I completely forget.
He brought up a great point, and it was they made it a TV show that you're able to take across. There's going to be 10 episodes.
Yeah.
So you've got 8.5-9 hours
of
storytelling. You know, a game like The Last of Us, it's a huge, expansive game with this large world. you know, and so instead of doing it into a two and a half hour yeah. movie, you're able to tell this hugely overarching story. And I think that's really one of the main keys.
Yeah.
Because could you imagine if they took Resident Evil and did it over 10, 15 episodes? Yeah. I mean, that, and did it like they're doing with the rest right. of The Last of Us. It would yeah. be amazing. I mean, it's, that's the formula.
Yeah.
You know, you can't take one of these large world games and turn it into a movie.
Yeah.
It's, there's too much.
Yeah. Same with books, like book adaptations.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you can't cram like 50 hours of reading into a 2-hour film.
Absolutely. Dungeons and Dragons. I think that's why ultimately they always struggle.
Yeah.
Is it's too big of a world.
You know, they should do like a TV show of Dungeons and Dragons, like an anthology TV show yeah. with like different adventures.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like each fun. Season's a different adventure.
I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, they already have the Dungeons and Dragons animated.
They had the animated series. Yeah. yeah.
I mean, like a live action fun. Where it's like yeah, not the same characters.
Yeah. yeah. Every week you have a different yeah. adventure. But somehow you could find a way if you wanted to tie them together. Yeah. But I think it'd be fun. Each, you could do it where you start off, each episode starts out with you watching that group.
Yeah.
Starting their campaign, starting right? Adventure. And then they go into the adventure, and then boom, there you are in the realm, and they have their knight,
mm-hmm.
and boom. And then next week, it's a different group playing. You could really have yeah. some fun with that.
Now, since we're talking about TV shows, I wanted to bring this point up. Not a TV show, but it should be a TV show. I have heard rumors, well, I don't know if they're rumors, but I've heard that they're eyeing another Hellboy reboot.
I have seen that.
That's my problem with Hellboy movies, is they need to be TV shows. Because Hellboy has 30 years worth of history.
Nope. And talk about an expansive yeah. world. Yeah.
You cannot fit that into a movie. That's why I think the last one failed, because they tried to fit too much into the movie. And like, that was fine for me, because I knew what was going on. But for the average moviegoer, they're not going to know what's going on.
Absolutely.
So I think they need to make that into a TV show. If you're listening, Amazon or whoever's out there trying to pick up properties...
Well, look what they're going to do out of the Henry Cavill's doing, the Warhammer
yeah.
with Amazon. That's, and once we get close to that, we'll have to have John back on, because yeah. he's like the Warhammer historian.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, loves it. But that seems like the perfect property for a series yeah. because there's so much involved.
Yeah. And
if you're going to do a movie of Hellboy, it needs to be focused on a specific storyline.
Yeah. Just start with, I mean, those first two Hellboy movies are really good because they just...
You know what would be fun is you do a Hellboy. What was that run that was just a few years back where it was like BRPD 1945?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's a TV series?
They could do Hellboy, and then that spawns BPRD, which spawns the BPRD 1946.
Yeah.
And then they could do Lobster Johnson. They could do a whole extended universe on TV, on Netflix or Amazon or something.
Oh, boy, you'd have entertainment for years.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why they're not listening to me right now when I say this.
Guys, we've got the ideas. You just got to come talk to us.
Yeah, listen, if Hasbro has your house bugged, Amazon surely
is next. Surely. Where's Alexa at? Come on. Good golly.
But yeah, I got excited because I saw that there was going to be another Hellboy movie, but I was like, I'm cautiously excited because the last one didn't work out.
It's a shame because I love David Harbour, too.
David Harbour was a great Hellboy, but they just wrote too much.
Yeah.
Just way too much going on.
That's a shame. I've yet to watch it. I want to.
Oh, you didn't watch it? I saw it in theaters.
Okay.
Because I'm a diehard Hellboy fan.
Yeah.
But hey, you know what? Another perfect transition, talking about theaters.
Yeah.
The Flash.
The Flash, yes. So anyone who watched the Super Bowl, or, you know, the day after and just got on YouTube or whatever. You weren't watching the Chiefs and the Eagles?
I think I had something better to do.
Wow.
I think I was asleep.
I'm trying to think what we were doing.
Yeah, I don't remember
what I was working, so...
I think we were catching up on The Last of Us, actually.
Really?
Or we were watching Andor. I the way the Bengals got beat, yeah. I
couldn't watch.
I didn't care to watch it.
Yeah.
Yep. But one of the most exciting things is they did the Flash trailer. And, you know, I've got the conflicting feels for it, right? Because I can't stand Ezra Miller. Right. And I don't want to...
And there's two of them in there.
There's two of them. That's double trouble, man. I don't want to support anything that he's in. But man, Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton.
Well, I'm going to be honest. Ugh. I didn't think Michael Keaton could save it for me. Because I assumed he would be Batman Beyond Bruce Wayne, where he was just like a mentor.
Yeah.
But when he was actually... Spoiler alert if you haven't seen the trailer, he suits up.
Yeah, he's in his 1989 suit. He's in his
Batman suit.
Oh.
When that happened, I was like... I didn't audibly do anything, but internally, there was bells and whistles. Everything was going off. When he said, I'm Batman, I was like, okay, I gotta go see this movie.
Yep, yeah. Here you go, take my money.
Yeah. Because I was like, I know Keaton's in it, but, you know, it's not going to be any good. Because yeah. It's a DC movie. And
right.
You know, but now I'm like, oh, man.
I
have high hopes.
Here's what I'm hoping they do. You have this movie, you get your DCEU or DCU, yeah. Whatever the heck James Gunn's calling it, Gods and Monsters.
Yeah.
Get that started and then get the heck rid of Ezra Miller.
Yeah.
You do the Flashpoint Paradox, you don't need him.
Right.
You bring in Wally West.
Right.
Bring in Wally West and then start anew. And yeah. You're in a different universe and here we go. But don't keep him.
Yeah, I think that's what
but they're going to... I want to see Michael Keaton.
I assume that's what they're going to do with the whole Flashpoint thing, is they're just going to completely re... It's, you know what's funny is, like, have you ever seen that episode of The Simpsons where he voices Poochie?
No.
So, Poochie is a character that they add to Itchy and Scratchy.
Okay.
And everybody hates Poochie. And so, Homer does this nuanced speech. He does this monologue at the end of the episode where he like, explains... Poochie's motivations and everything, and like kind of like it's just a very heartwarming speech, but they cut it and they just do like a really rough animated cell that says Poochie died on the way back to his home planet or something. And that's what I think they're gonna do with the Flash. Like they're gonna cut the ending and they're gonna be like, and then the Flash fixed everything and now there's a new DCU. And I think that's how they're, because they already filmed it, I think, so they have to do something.
They gotta do something,
but that's I think they're gonna do.
They need to do something. Oh.
So.
But yeah, so that was exciting.
Well, and I don't know if this is true or if it's an edit, but it looks like I know Ben Affleck's in it, but it looks like he's wearing a blue and gray suit. Yeah.
It looked like, yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
I've been waiting for that forever.
Right. There was a lot going on in there that made me go, oh, okay.
And I did not see Zod coming at all.
No.
Yeah, me neither.
No.
I was like, what? And Michael Shannon was a good Zod, so...
He was a good Zod. So, there's a lot of good going on for that. I'm still conflicted.
Yeah, but, it is.
I'll probably go up. I'm going to go see it. I don't want to support him. But maybe I'll close my eyes every time I hear his voice.
Yeah.
And then keep one open for Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was fun. What else you got going on?
Well, let's see. Oh, I've been reading... I've been dipping into my Superman fandom more.
Yeah?
I just watched... Well, I started watching the Superman movie again for the first time in like 15 years.
That the movie Christopher
is,
Reeve?
Yes, that movie is quite long, so I paused it halfway through.
Yes.
He just rescued Lois from the helicopter, and I was like, you know what, I think it's bedtime. But that's really good. I actually went to the Superman Museum. Do you remember that?
Yes.
They have his suit from Superman 2 there.
Oh, nice.
So I thought that was really cool. And I've been reading Superman books. I started rereading All-Star Superman. And I started reading Superman Adventures, which is based off the Superman animated TV show. Mm-hmm. But it's actually written by Scott McCloud. Do you know Scott McCloud? Mm-hmm. So if you don't know Scott McCloud, he wrote Understanding Comics, or is it Reading Comics? I always forget. I think it's Understanding Comics. But he wrote this book that like breaks down how to read comics, basically, and how to understand them. And I knew he had written some Superman, but I've never read it before. So I'm just kind of taking like a light jog down Superman Lane. And there's also Batman. Well, this I'm doing what I'm calling the Adventure Trilogy, because there's also Batman Adventures, which is based on the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reading that, and I'm also reading Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Adventures, which we talked about once.
Nice.
So I'm doing a lot of adventures reading because they're kind of like all ages and you don't have to worry about a lot of lore or...
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if you know Superman, then... Because there is some stuff that you have to know about Superman to read that, you know.
Yeah.
So I've been doing a lot of that and... Yeah, just watching. I did start watching The Simpsons from the very beginning.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, I don't know how far I'm gonna go. There's like 35 years of it, so, and it's not all good. So.
No. I just can't. It just never ceases to amaze me that they have been able to make them this long.
I know, it's insane.
But they keep on trucking.
Yeah, they just got renewed for 2 more seasons.
So, no kidding. Yeah. Good golly.
So that's what I've been doing with Disney Plus, is just watching The Simpsons and just.
Huh.
The Last of Us. I've been watching The Simpsons to counterbalance The Last of Us, because The Last of Us is. Oh, you know what I was going to talk about? The Last of Us? Part of the reason I'm watching it is because it was actually made by the same guy who. The show was created by the same guy who did Chernobyl.
Oh, I did not realize that.
Have you watched Chernobyl?
I have not.
It's only like 5 episodes. I really recommend it.
I heard it's very.
It's quite bleak, though.
Yes. I've heard you need to be starting in a good spot.
Yeah, it's quite bleak. And you can tell that. Like, I just wonder, like, what this guy's deal is, because he's just doing all these dark shows and all these, like, melancholy kind of things.
Maybe it's his therapy.
Maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, so I've been watching The Simpsons to counterbalance that, because I'm like, okay, like, whew.
Now, have you done any more work on your Don Quixote stuff lately?
Yeah, so I have been working on that. I'm about 8 to 10 pages in.
Nice.
Complete pages.
Yeah.
Written pages, I'm about 30.
Did you know he's doing a comic adaptation of Don Quixote?
I did not.
Yes, it is a labor of love, and it is it's interesting because it's like a 400-year-old book.
Yeah.
So it's still very, I don't want to say relevant, but still very good today.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I've been working on that, and I've been trying to get back into drawing comics more because... I kind of miss it, but it's kind of hard when you're just like, I don't have the mental energy to do this.
Yeah.
But yeah, Don Quixote is nice because it's already written.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of my comics I have to write myself.
You have to come up with the storylines.
And an adaptation does provide its own challenges, but it's like I said, I'm already about 30 pages in, so mm-hmm. It's like, that's easier than writing. I don't say it's easier than writing your own story, but it's already there, and because I'm such a visual reader, and I've already read Don Quixote once, it's like... Oh, okay, I can kind of see it in my head how it would play out. Mm-hmm. And I've been watching movies about Don Quixote, so it helps with the backgrounds and stuff. So that's going slow, but...
From Westerns to Don Quixote.
Yeah, the great... Well, that's a... Maybe that's the first Western. He was the first cowboy.
Could be.
I don't know. He rode a horse, so...
Speaking of cowboys, and you already know this, but I got to show it to you downstairs because I forgot to do it, so... I had quite a fun day last week, where I nerded out on a couple of different ends of the spectrum. We were at a Half Price bookstore in Columbus, and I went through the Western section because I, as I've mentioned on some of the episodes, which maybe haven't been played yet, because it's the book one.
Yeah.
But I love the Craig Johnson Longmire mysteries, and they moved them from the mystery section to the Western section.
Oh, interesting.
Which, okay,
yeah.
I get. It's set in Wyoming, so there you go. There's some Native American, indigenous people, supernatural type stuff that kind of weave into some of the stories. But as I was looking, I happened to look up, and they had a string of Zane Grey novels up top. And one of them looked quite old. Because most of them that they have are the ones that, you know, they reprinted 50, 60 years later, and they made, like, I imagine they were a Book of the Month Club type mm-hmm. thing where, you know, you pay $20 a month or whatever, and you get this Zane Grey novel because they're all, like, in purple-bound outers and covers. But this one had, like, an original-looking cover on it. So I picked it up, and I open it up, and there's a note in there that says, first edition, and $10. Wow. I'm like, huh. I'm like, that can't be right. And I turn and look, and there it was, copyright 1919.
Wow.
And now the dust cover, little beaten up.
Yeah.
You know, it's 104 years old,
yeah,
for crying out loud. But the pages, everything is solid in there. There's nothing coming unglued, no ripped pages, no damaged pages. It's perfectly good. And it's called The Desert of Wheat.
Ooh.
Is the name of the book. So... I grabbed it.
Yeah.
I just had to. I love Westerns. My dad loved Westerns. Now, my dad was a Louis L'Amour guy, but he had quite a few Zane Greys, too. And I don't think I ever told you this, but my great uncle has told me that his grandpa, so my great-great-grandpa, was friends with Zane Grey.
Oh, wow.
Like, when Zane Grey would be traveling through Ohio, he would stop in and see my great-great-grandpa.
That's cool.
So that's a neat little thing. So, yeah, I grabbed it. And then on the same day, we went to a video game store, a used, you know, retro game store. And I picked up a Game Boy Micro.
Yeah.
And if no one knows what a Game Boy Micro is, it is literally, it fits in the palm of your hands.
Yeah.
This thing is smaller than my cell phone. It is absolutely, but you know what? Before you leave, I got to show you, the picture is amazing on
really?
It.
Really?
For being, you know, 18 years old and being that small.
Yeah.
The picture is just phenomenal. Don't have a lot of games for it yet. God. I've got a handful. But yeah, that's been a blast. When someone's watching something I don't care for, or if I'm home and no one's around and I'm too lazy to walk up the stairs to the Nerd Loft, I just have that down there next to the chair and playing away. Have you? I've shown you Wyatt, right?
Yeah, because we were watching Kingsman, Golden Circle.
That's right.
Put your headphones on and started playing on it.
Yes, it has a headphone jack. It's amazing. Wow. It's great. Has a headphone jack. I did end up taking my headphones off and finishing Kingsman Golden Circle with you.
Yeah.
Which, I've never watched the second Kingsman movie. I'm not a huge fan of the first Kingsman movie.
Yeah, it was... Okay.
The scene in the church is cool.
Yeah.
I tell you what, though, in my opinion, the second one was better than the first one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I would agree.
So, Pedro Pascal is in the second one, which is why I decided, you know what, I'm going to give this a shot. And we watched another movie with him. I don't think we told you this, Wyatt. We finally watched The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
Yes. Without me.
Your mom wanted to watch it.
Really?
Yes. And let me tell you, so if anyone doesn't know, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent is a Nick Cage movie where he plays himself, kind of a fictionalized version of himself, if you will. And Pedro Pascal is a guy who contacts his agent to rent him out for the weekend to come down because he wants to pitch him a movie idea. He's written a screenplay. And then chaos ensues after that. It was an absolute fantastic movie. I will rewatch it with you. Okay. Trust me. That thing was so fun. Pedro Pascal was phenomenal. Nick Cage was Nick Cage. You either love him or you hate him. I love Nick Cage. I will watch almost anything he's done. Pig is another one that I bought that digitally. And so that's on my to read or to watch list. But yeah, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, a must watch.
Yeah.
That was phenomenal. Absolutely great. So fun. Yeah. So speaking of movies, do I talk about this one before I talk about the books I read? He doesn't know what I've watched. What? Jordan has no clue.
I don't know if I know what you've watched.
You don't?
I don't think
so. Oh my gosh. So,
I think you got to talk about it now.
So Saturday, Sharon had a extra shift. And then a friend of ours texted us and said asked if we had any plans. I said, I don't, but Sharon works. They asked if I wanted to go watch this movie with them because they were going to go see it. So on Saturday, we went and watched Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The second you started talking about you were doing nothing, got invited to watch the movies, I'm like, oh, now I know.
If you don't know what this is and haven't heard about it, Winnie the Pooh has become public domain now.
Yeah.
So, and I'm guessing the dude who wrote this story years ago and has just been waiting for this day to happen. So the premise, without giving away too many spoilers of this fine piece of cinematic work, Christopher Robin goes into the 100 Acre Woods and he befriends these mutant creatures that are half bear, half rabbit, half pig, half owl, and half donkey. And eventually, Christopher Robert grows up, and he has to go to college, right? And he leaves them. And, well, there's no one to bring them food anymore. And things get ugly in the Hundred Acre Woods. And so, fast forward, Christopher Robin is bringing his fiance to show her that he's not crazy, that he's not making this up. The problem is during this time that he's been away, they've gone full-on Deliverance in the Hundred Acre Woods. It is not safe to go in there. Then you've got a side story where these group of young ladies have rented this Airbnb, and of course you've got, you know, the traumatized one, you've got the sensitive one, you've got the one who's an Instagram influencer. They've got the whole spectrum covered.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Pooh and Piglet just, they go on a rampage.
Oh my God.
It is absolutely glorious. It is, if you love horrible, just downright terrible horror movies, this is it. It was absolute. There was no redeeming qualities to this movie, but it was great. I laughed the whole time. There was a couple of jump scares, some amazing gratuitous violence, the way they, you know, offed some of the characters. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
You know, speaking of classic characters becoming public domain, I saw this on Instagram or something. I didn't read too much into it, but I saw that Mickey Mouse is going to be in public domain in 2024.
Really?
Yeah.
Disney's going to let that happen?
Well, I think it was like a contract thing where it, like,
Oh my gosh. Had could to you
be.
Imagine?
No, it's going to be chaos.
Wow. Man, the stuff that could happen.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that Disney wasn't happy that this happened.
Oh, but no.
I'm sure most people that are Pooh fans aren't happy that this happened. Now, I love Winnie the Pooh. Loved watching him as a kid, reading his books and stuff. But I did enjoy seeing him as a bloodthirsty, cannibalistic, just monster. It was great. It was fantastic. If that ever comes out on Blu-ray or digital or whatever, I will own it.
Mm-hmm. How did you watch it? Was it in theaters?
It was in theaters.
Oh my God.
We went to, so here's the best part. Okay, so we went to the Marion Theater, and I'm sure my friends are going to listen to this, and I don't mean to speak bad of the Marion Theater, but it is a piece of crap. it's the best part of the Marion Theater is it's $6 for tickets.
Wow.
Okay. But that being said, I think the fact that we were in a theater like the Marion Theater made it that much more enjoyable because you're just sitting there going, oh my God, what am I watching and what am I watching it in? But
now, were there other people there?
Yes. There were probably, I'd say, a couple dozen of us in the theater. God. The one complaint I have, so it was a Fathom event because the movie is only an hour and 24 minutes long.
Yeah.
So the movie started at 7, but at 7, what ended up happening is they had 30 minutes of just advertisement for Fathom. Gosh. And I've never experienced that. I've never been part of a Fathom event before. So literally when 7 o'clock hit, this main screen showed up, and it started with 30 in the bottom corner. And then it started a countdown. And I looked at my buddy Jeff, and I'm like, are we going to be sitting here for 30 minutes before the movie starts? And he goes, I don't know. And then the two people in front of us are like, oh yeah, this is what they do with these movies. So sometimes they show a concert. Sometimes they do. They did not show us a concert. It was just a loop of the same advertisements for Fathom events. It was mind-numbing.
You should have said it was unfathomable.
It was. You know what?
Why didn't you think of that?
Why didn't I think? That's why he's the guy. That's why he's the writer, though.
Wow. We'll just edit this so it sounds like you came up
with
it.
There we go.
Yeah.
I will tell you this.
So now you say
some people would probably say the movie Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, is unbearable. How about that? only one beer and I was able to come up with that. But yeah, so we watched that. That was fun. And yeah, unfortunately, I did not get as much reading done this month as I had hoped. I had, since we decided to go with this idea, I've really tried to get myself to read much more.
Yeah.
Last month, I read quite a bit.
Yeah.
And as I think we've talked about it before, I've been on kind of a reading funk for the last year or so. So this month, though, I started off hot and slowed down. So I started off by reading a book that I got at the Gem City Con.
Yeah.
It's called Along a Burning River, Stories from Ohio. And it's an anthology, and it's, I'm trying to think of the gentleman's name that started it, Todd Zevroloff. And I'm not sure if he's the one I got this from or if it's one of the people that wrote stories in here. Your friend, Aaron Lindemann, has a story in here, which is cool. And so it's just all a bunch of stories that kind of, you know, either are directly related to Ohio or they get Ohio into the story. One of my favorite stories in here was Serpent in the Sky. And it's written by a gentleman named Scott Bachman, and the art was by Daniel Gorman. And it whether this is the actual lore of the Serpent Mound in Southern Ohio, or if this is just his telling of it, it was really cool. And so, you know, it obviously it was an indigenous grandfather talking to his granddaughter, telling the story of how the Serpent Mound came to be. Amazing story. The other one that was a really cool story in here was called, I believe it's The River. The problem with these stories is not all of them have their titles in front of them. And so, but there was one where there was, it's called Tide by Joe Wood. That one was an amazing story too. That was fun. A lot of great artwork. I just absolutely loved that. So that was a neat book. I've probably had that for a year or two now. Because I'm trying to think when we went to... Well, we went to Gem City last year.
Yeah, last year, yeah.
Then I read a book called Friday by Ed Brubaker and art by Marcus Martin. And it was a digital comic, and he won an Eisner Winner Award for it. And Image is printing it. And this was really fun. And I told you already, I think you'd really dig it. So it's a story about a young lady... first year in college, but she had befriended this awkward young boy when she first moved to this town in, I think it was like the eighth grade. And so they became fast friends. Well, they kind of had their own mystery solving, you know, gig. So they go around solving things, and then things started kind of escalating. Without giving too much away, they kind of have a moment that ended awkwardly. And then she's coming back for Christmas vacation from her first year and reconnects with him. And she's right in the middle of this, like, this crazy scenario. And there's, you know, some mystical things going on. It was a great read. Very fast. It's a smaller book. Obviously, it was a digital comic, so you know it's got a different format. That was really neat. I think you'll like it. You need to take this before you leave. The second book, so the first one's called The First Day of Christmas. The second installment is out. I think it came out a couple months ago. So I'll definitely be picking that up. But yeah, the third thing that I read this month is from a local woman who you've had at the MiniCon at the library.
Friend of the show.
She is a friend of the show, whether she knows it or not. but her name is Addie J. King. She is an attorney in Urbana?
Yeah, I think so.
But she writes novels in her free time. And I've seen her at the MiniCon several times. I've never had the chance to go and talk to her and get anything from her because I've always been running my table.
That's true.
So I've never had a chance to go. Well, I happened upon... She was at the Champion City comic show in Springfield. Mm-hmm. And I was going to one of Wyatt's band competitions. Stopped in there really quick and ran into our friend, Michael Nino, who was also a friend of the show. Hi, Michael. And but she had a table there, too. And the only reason I recognized her is I saw this book that I'm holding, Demons and Heroes and Robots Oh My. And I'm like, I know I've seen that before. And so I kind of looked and started to walk by, and then I had to go back, and we started talking and realized that she's been at the mini-con, and she had recognized me. So we sat there and talked for quite a bit, and I ended up getting a few books from her. This one is a collection of short stories that she's done. A lot of them were for the Origins Game Fair, where they would do collections, and then there's a couple others. And then there's some other short stories that she did on her own. And then there's kind of like a preview story where a few of the stories are connected, and she connects them. And the stories are amazing. I absolutely love them. There's one where it's superheroes in a retirement home.
Oh, that's cool.
And there's a gentleman who also has powers, and his parents were superheroes, but he runs it. Thought that story was absolutely phenomenal. What a great concept.
Yeah.
Poltergeist on Aisle 14 was another fun one. She just, all the stories I absolutely got a kick out of. I'm looking forward to reading. I bought another short story collection that it wasn't all of her collection, but she's part of, and they were fantasy stories. And then I bought a book from her called oh my gosh, the it's a cop that's a werewolf, in the book's downstairs, but it's like Shades of Grey, but not 50 Shades of Grey,
right.
But I think it's Shades of Grey is what it's called. Addie, if you ever find out that we're talking about you and I misquoted the title, I am so sorry. It is downstairs and we're up in the Nerd Loft.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely loved Demons and Heroes and Robots Oh My, and that's what I love about places like the Mini-Con and these, the Gem City Con, and all these all smaller shows that you can meet creators like that. Yeah. Space is another great one, which I know we've talked about in other shows, to see what people are doing, because just because they're not, you know, signed to a major label doesn't mean they're not putting out good work.
Yeah.
And absolutely loved it. Couldn't recommend her this book enough,
right.
And I can't wait to read the others so I can talk. I did forget, even though I haven't read it yet, I did finally pick up a copy of Something Wicked This Way Comes too.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yes, so I'm looking forward to reading that and giving a review on that.
Yeah.
Anyone who doesn't know, that's a Ray Bradbury book. Disney, although it wasn't a listed as a Disney movie, what's the company name? TriStar or whatever. Their sister company, where they would release movies that weren't quite Disney-esque. They would release them under that banner. And so they did a movie back in the 80s starring Jason Robards and Jonathan Pryce.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Absolutely. If you've not watched Something Wicked This Way Comes, it's a must-watch. Sharon found it on DVD a couple years back, gave it to me for Christmas. Amazing. I don't think you've watched it with me yet, have you?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Amazing. I used to watch that with my dad all the time. Anytime it was on TV, we'd watch it. It's a great book. Great movie.
Great movie.
I'm assuming it's a great book.
Yeah, I didn't know they made a movie of that.
So, yeah. We'll have to watch it sometime.
Yeah.
Get in Wolf Cop and watch that.
Yeah.
We still have Wolf Cop 2 to watch. Another Wolf Cop. Yeah. I have a Blu-ray double feature. So it has the first and the second on there.
Oh my gosh.
So we got to have a movie night so we can watch the movies, and then we can talk about them in March.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see their, I think they're making a Velocipaster 2.
I have heard that might be a possibility.
Yeah.
So how exciting is that?
Very.
I can't wait. Anyone who doesn't know, Velocipaster is an amazing, horrible movie. And it's about a pastor who has this like curse, and he turns into a dinosaur and rights the wrongs of people. And it is absolutely fantastic. I don't think there's a way we could describe it to where you would understand exactly how bad and how great it is.
You just have to watch it.
You have to watch it. I'm pretty sure it's on Amazon. Or was it Netflix?
It was Amazon, I think.
It sounds like an Amazon thing.
I don't know if it's still available, but Velocipaster. Check that out. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
That was great. Just great.
Yeah.
But yeah. So what else we got?
Yeah, I didn't do a whole lot this month. Short month.
It's a short month. Busy month. Yeah. Yeah. My last weekend was very busy. I put in a bunch of overtime. So that kind of... I did... I guess I could say, keep an eye out for pictures. The one last nerdy thing I did this month was something I've never done before. And that's I pre-ordered a Sideshow figure. So Sideshow is a company that does these amazingly intricate and detailed figures. Dare I say they're almost works of arts. For the nerdy. Well, it turns out that they are partnering with Clint Eastwood, and so they're doing a Clint Eastwood Legacy Collection. And right now you can pre-order the Man with No Name figure, or the Preacher from Pale Rider. As we're going to have a Western episode eventually. Unfortunately, when we record it, you won't hear for another 6 months. But I can guarantee you in there, I will be talking about how much I love the movie Pale Rider. It's one of my absolute favorite movies, period, let alone Westerns. And so when I went over to their website to go, oh, well, what could they possibly be doing that would be interesting? And then I saw Preacher.
Yeah.
And I went, okay. And so, you know, the nice thing about having a toy show business on the side, a toy selling business on the side, is that, you know, they can buy things like that. So, yeah.
Now, speaking of the toy show, what day is that again?
That is March 19th, Sunday, March 19th. So, yeah, you know what? Good on you, man. I wasn't even going to say anything. If you guys are in the Columbus area or don't mind a road trip, Sunday, March 19th, Jordan and I will be at the Roush Building at the Ohio State Fairgrounds for the Ohio Toy and Show, Toy and Comic Show.
Yeah.
And it's a great show. This is actually the show that we'll be at. They are celebrating their 20th year, I believe. So, yeah. And so he always has... Tony puts on a great show. It's a huge building. So if anyone who knows the Ohio State Fairgrounds, this is the building where usually the 4-H competitions are at. It's huge. There's hundreds of vendors in this thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then he always has some cool guests. I think for this round, they're going to have a guy who did a lot of Star Wars photography.
Yep.
They're going to have, oh my gosh, who else was it? We were actually just looking at it. Now it escapes me. But yeah, so if you love toy shows or want to see what they're like, be sure to come by and say hi to us. We are in the very back. We're going to be in the same spot we were last year. I don't know if I told you that. Yeah. So we're in the very back aisle, almost to the end on the right, and which ended up being a great spot.
Yeah, that was a good spot.
But yeah, so we'll be there from... 9, I think it opens. If early birds can get in at 8, I believe. But from 9 to 4, we will be there selling stuff and talking nerdy things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool when people buy stuff, but I just love talking to people and hearing the stuff they love and what they dig. And so that makes it just as exciting.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Thanks about that. You know what? I wasn't even thinking. You know what?
Yeah.
Your business acumen is really, it's really grown.
Always be closing.
Always be closing. Man, there's another good movie. Oh, man. But yeah, so the Ohio Toy and Comic Show, March 19th.
Yeah, come meet the Nerd Podcast in person.
Yeah, you know what? We should try to get something so we can advertise that.
Yeah.
Is a month enough time to do something?
Maybe, I don't know.
We'll figure it out. We probably should have been thinking about that. Golly, man. Where were you, Wyatt? Why were you helping with this? You're our social media guy.
Am I?
Yeah. Make sure you talk about this on your Snappy Chat and and all your followers on IG and stuff.
Okay. I can do that.
Hype up the Toy and Comic Show. Come see the Nerd Podcast. You know what? Maybe we'll do a live.
Yeah, I was thinking
Can we do that?
That would be fun.
Do we have the capabilities?
We could probably figure out how. Yeah, we'll look into it.
That'll be fun. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, so that was cool. So, yeah, February, short month, but we packed a lot of stuff in there. Wow. Hopefully next month there will be a few more movies we can talk about, more books, and...
I just want to add something. I don't know if you brought it up in the January one. I was looking it up on my phone, the Invincible Season 2 trailer.
Oh, yeah. Did it come out?
Oh, did it come out?
Yeah, you haven't seen it?
No, I have not.
I don't think it was a full-on trailer. It was a teaser trailer.
A teaser? Wow. Okay.
But it looks very promising. The animation looks a bit different, but I'm very excited for it. I'm a big fan of the first season.
Invincible was amazing. Yeah. I was skeptical about watching it. I wasn't sure what to expect, but that was pretty darn good.
It took me and Maddie to convince you.
It did.
Me seeing it twice with her a third time with you.
True statement. I really had no interest. I was just, I'm like, I don't see how this is possible. But it was phenomenal. If you've not watched Invincible, even though it's based on the comic, you got to know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
It is Robert Kirkman who, did The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. Now, have you read any of the compendiums that I bought you for Invincible?
I've read about half of the first one.
These things are huge, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
How does it match up with what you've read so far?
It's kind of similar. Invincible's been out 2 years now. I think I can.
It has been a while. It's wild that it's been so long in between seasons.
Yeah. The scene where Omni-Man kills the fake Justice Leaguer,
yeah.
I forget whatever they're called, it's a lot quicker in the book. It's just a couple, like, panels.
Oh, gotcha.
It's not like a whole scene or whatever. It's like he takes care of him easily.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
It created a lot of suspense for the show, which I think was really good. And it also happened later in, like, a lot later in the book.
Ah. There's a lot of material in Invincible, so I mean, I don't know how long those compendiums are that I bought you, but I bought all three for you for Christmas.
Yeah.
Your mom and I bought. I shouldn't say I bought. Yeah. But they are huge. There's like 600 pages per book or something like that. 600-700 pages.
Yeah.
There's a lot of material there. I did see, and I don't know if this is just, if this was a fan thing. I didn't look into it, but... There was a tweet or a post from Jeffrey Dean Morgan, and he was holding the compendiums. They were in front of him, and he's like, okay, I'm ready. And so then the speculation is that they're going to try to do a live action, and he would be Omni-Man. It's
that'd be really good.
JDM could be an awesome Omni-Man.
Yeah.
He sure could. So, but why would you do a live action if you've already done the animated?
Yeah, you're already starting with that.
So... But who knows? I mean, it could be interesting. Yeah. But but speaking of long time in between, anyone who watched Carnival Row on Amazon, it was a show starring Orlando Bloom.
Oh yeah,
they literally just announced season 2's coming out, and it's been like 4 years since
I forgot about that.
So it's like anyone who was a fan needs to go and rewatch it again. But I did finish The Expanse.
Oh, yeah?
Season 1.
Okay.
Season 1, which I shouldn't say anything more because that's going to be in our sci-fi TV episode, which probably won't come out for a few months. But if you haven't watched The Expanse, you should if you love sci-fi TV. Yeah. So I'm late to the party again.
Yeah, I still need to watch it.
I need to get on the ball with Season 2 because I've been told by John it only gets better. And the Season 1 was pretty darn good.
Yeah.
So what a month.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what's the month of March brings us.
Yeah, it's going
to
be a good one.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about the toy show.
The toy show, yeah.
And see if anything interesting happens from that. And maybe, we got to get something to maybe post because that would be the perfect place for people to find out about it. Yeah. And maybe we gain some...
We could do some business cards and stuff.
Yeah. Put a little QR code on there or something.
Yeah, those don't take very long. Make some posters. You guys can sign them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Maybe if you can get the clothes.
Yeah, that's true. It's open again.
Did we talk about that in January?
No, because it was. I think it opened before there, after.
You know what? So let's go ahead. We plugged the toy show. Let's plug this really quick. So Jordan has a TeePublic page where he has T-shirts for all of his creations, like Gordy, who anyone who knows Gordy absolutely is an amazing comic duck character. There's Detective Dandy merch. What else did you do?
There's the Nerd.
Oh, there's the Nerd podcast where you could have a shirt that has a 16-bit picture of Jordan and I on it. And, I mean, what doesn't scream cool? Like a blurry photo of two nerdy guys on it.
Yeah. Let me tell you, when I'm walking the halls of my high school...
You get looks?
I get looks.
Yeah.
You know, people are like, oh my gosh.
Well, you know what? Your sister your sister wears it down at OU, and she's got some of her friends hooked. So you know what? To our OU friends, if you're listening, hey, glad you dig it. Hopefully we can keep you guys entertained.
Yeah, so it's kind of a funny story because the shirt shop got closed for a while. Several months for no real reason. I don't know why, but they just emailed me like a couple weeks ago and opened it back up.
Yeah, it was so wild. So he opened up the tea shop. We ordered all of our merch that weekend, the second day we could, we're ordering it. And, you know, t-shirts, hoodies. I even got a Hot Cakes Comics, because anyone who doesn't know, Jordan has a comic book universe called Hot Cakes Comics, and that's what he does all his comics under. So, and then the Nerd Podcast and all of that stuff. And literally, I think it was like 2 or 3 days after we ordered, you told us it was shut down.
It was shut down.
But we still got an order, which was nice.
Yeah,
yeah, it came really fast, too.
It did come really fast. And the shirts are amazingly comfortable.
Yeah.
They're great shirts.
And the hoodie.
Is the hoodie nice?
Yeah.
I know your mom loves her long sleeve t-shirt. The t-shirts I got are fantastic.
I think Maddie likes the crew neck a lot.
Yeah. They fit true to size. They're very comfortable. But yeah, so...
I'm trying to find the... it's been so long, I actually forget the actual address to it.
Well, we'll post it. We'll post it on the Nerd Podcast Facebook page and Twitter and Instagram, and we'll share it on our own pages too. And friends of Maddie and Wyatt, maybe they can share it once we get it out there. But yeah, it's just a neat little page. I'm glad that they finally got it back open. So
yeah, there's lots of Gordy stuff, some Detective Dandy, Nerd. Hotcakes. I have a Osamu Tezuka shirt on there if you're into manga. So you might just have to go to TeePublic and look up Hotcakes Comics and see if you can find it. Cause yeah, we'll post the actual link in the comments.
Yeah,
and you can get your own Nerd T-shirt.
Absolutely, nerd it out. Love it. Awesome. All right. Anything else, Wyatt? We want to thank you. For joining us.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah. You're always welcome, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate being on. I feel like I'm intaking more nerd.
Yeah.
Look at what
I used to have.
It's like
making your dad proud.
Yeah.
It's like when you tape your mouth to an exhaust pipe and you get all that straight.
Is that what it's like?
That's the nerd coming out.
That's exactly what it's like, yes.
Too much will kill you? What does that mean?
It's the thrill. It's the thrill.
And I think on that note, we'll go ahead and end this month of review. Appreciate it, guys. We're glad that all of you are around. Hit us up, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll see you guys at the toy show. Yeah. So, thanks again. And as always, stay nerdy.